Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Rethinking Mental Health, a New Scientist article from the 25th of January, 2020, by Dan Jones, growing evidence that many mental health conditions share an underlying cause could transform their treatment. Dear, that just sounds like someone who's got the wrong end of statistics myself, but life can be tough. All of us have experienced nagging worries, anxiety, sadness, low mood, paranoid thoughts. Most of the time, it's short-lived. But when it persists or worsens, our lives can quickly unravel. Mental health conditions, including everything from depression, phobias, to anorexia, schizophrenia, are shockingly common. In the UK, 1 in 4 people experience them each year, so it's likely that you or someone you know has sought help from a professional. Okay. I don't know how that follows. That process usually begins with a diagnosis. A mental health professional evaluates your symptoms and determines which of the hundreds of conditions listed in Psychiatry's Classifications Bible, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, best fits. Then you start on a treatment tailored to your condition. It seems an obvious approach, but is it the right one? Quote, for millennia, we've put all these psychiatric conditions into separate corners, says neuroscientist Anki Hammerschlag of Vera University in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. Quote, but maybe that's not how it works biologically. There are growing compelling evidence that she is correct. Instead, it's just a fantastic name. Instead of being separate conditions, many health problems appear to share underlying cause, something researchers know as the P factor. Oh dear. This realization could radically change how we diagnose and treat mental health conditions, putting more focus on symptoms instead of labels and offering more general treatments. It also explains puzzling patterns in the occurrence of these conditions in individuals and families. Rethinking mental health this way could be revolutionary. Quote, I don't think there are such things as discrete mental disorders, says behavioral geneticist Robert Plomin at the King's College London. Quote, we just focused, they're just fictions we create because of our medical model. I suppose that's correct. It seems a bit like quantum mechanics and the wave functions, the P state wave functions, which are, you know, most things are ensemble of wave functions, but they all have to add up to be orthogonal anyway. At first glance, the idea that different mental health conditions with distinct symptoms share an underlying cause seems counterintuitive. The key to understanding it lies in the name P factor. It's an international parallel with one of the most famous concepts in psychology. For more than a century ago, British psychologist Charles Spearman noted that children's performance in one kind of mental task, say verbal fluency, was correlated with their mental skills in all other areas, like mathematical reasoning, spatial manipulation, and logic. Yeah, in other words, I found that the spelling test you gave at the start of the lesson gave a clear predictor how they're going to perform later on. But it's rather strange. In other words, children who are good at one thing tend to be good at another, while those who struggle in one area tend to struggle in all others. Using a statistical tool called factor analysis, Spearman showed that this is because the different mental abilities are all linked to an overarching cognitive capacity, which he named general intelligence, or the G factor. A century on, applying the same approach to mental health diagnosis provide the first hints of something similar might be going on, i.e. mixed up kitten or not. There are a wide range of mental health conditions that manifest with different behavioural psychological symptoms. Like cognitive skills, they cluster together individuals either at the same time or one after another. In 2012, something's giving me a big bite here, sorry, out here in Australia. Benjamin Labey at the University College of Chicago and his colleagues analysed information on such diagnosis among 30,000 people studied over 3 years. Only the students statistical significance of your statistical factor. Now, using factor analysis, they found the observed patterns of illness were best explained by general tendency towards mental health conditions. The following year, Alva Storm, Carpsey, and Terry Mulford at King's College London got the same result. The study used information from 1,000 people, so health had been tracked for 4 decades since birth in the early 1970s. It was Moffat Cupsey who coined the term P-factor to describe an individual's broad susceptibility to mental health problems. Quote, once you have any given mental disorder, it increases the likelihood that you'll have multiple other kinds of disorders, says Cupsey. I just think the world's full of dickhead statisticians. The P-factor can also explain puzzling patterns of mental health conditions within families. It's long been known that these conditions have genetic basis and are highly heritable. Huge studies of twins, have estimated that heritability and schizophrenia, for example, is at nearly 80% and major depression is at 45%. But having a parent or a sibling diagnosed with one condition doesn't increase the odds that you will experience it. It also increases the likelihood that you will be diagnosed with a different condition. Or, there's so many factors that would do that. For instance, if a parent has schizophrenia, you risk developing bipolar disorder and doubles and vice versa. That makes sense if you inherit not just a risk from one kind of condition, but more general risk or the P factor. Indeed, the application of genetics to psychiatry in the past decade had provided key support for the existence of a P-factor. In the early days, psychiatric genetics mostly entailed a hunt for individual genes conferring significant risk for developing certain conditions. But this so-called candidate gene approach hit the skids, quote, it really was a dead loss, but it was all we could do at the time, said Polman. Then SNP chips that came along with the mid-2000s and changed everything. SNP pronounced SNP chips, which look a bit like a memory card on digital cameras, allow scientists to use small DNA sample to scan someone's genome and discover which genetic variants they carry. And, well, gee, that's everyone's able to actually do the genome experiment. Everyone has millions of single-letter differences in their DNA. I think it's like the more data you have, the more you can be bewildered by it. For the code, where one person has a T, for example, another person may have a G. A, T, C, G, O, it doesn't matter. Or someone else could have an A or a C. For the tens of millions of these single nuclear polymorphisms, SNPs have been identified. A single SNP chip can detect millions or more of them in one go. The breakthrough for P-factor idea came a few years before Moffat and Cupsey coined the term. In 2009, the International Schizophrenia Consortium used SNP to genetically analyse more than 3,000 people diagnosed with the condition. Instead of pulling out one or a few genetic variants with big impacts on schizophrenia susceptibility, the analysis found the condition was linked to thousands of variants, each having a small effect. Intriguingly, these same variants also increase the risk of bipolar disorder. Yeah, it's interesting. Shared genes. This kind of analysis was extended in 2013. You've got to be really cautious genetic engineering. An international group called the Psychiatric Genomes Consortium completed a landmark study. Scientists analysed genomic data from more than 30,000 people diagnosed with conditions including bipolar disorder, major depression and schizophrenia. Again, genetic risk variants cut across the traditional diagnostic boundaries of psychiatry. Quote, it's the opposite to what we expected, says Mike Gandel, the University of California, Los Angeles. Until recently, it was thought that genetic studies would reveal more biological specificity for each disorder, but instead we're seeing all this shared genetics. Tellingly, the story is very different for neurological conditions, which after should affect the nervous system itself, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Huntington's, and multiple sclerosis. A 2018 study from the Brainstorm Consortium based in Harvard University examined the genetic data for more than 265,000 people with one of 25 psychiatric and neurological conditions. This revealed that neurological conditions have little or nothing genetically in common with each other or with psychiatric conditions, making them much better fit to the classical medical model. For neurological conditions in which a single gene plays a big role, people can be divided into two groups, those who carry a risk variant and those who don't. The picture is much more messier for mental health conditions. The thousands of SNP underlying them follow a bell-shaped distribution, meaning that it's a small percentage of people have very few risk variants, a small percentage have a lot, and most people fall somewhere in between with symptom severity roughly tracking the curve. There's no break point at which the number of variants suddenly leads to a diagnosable psychiatric disorder, said Polyman. It gets messier. Researchers are now discovering that some of SNPs, SNPs, associated with individual conditions, there's this huge genetic overlap between psychiatric disorders, but there's also some specific genetic factors that make people differ in their symptoms, says Chisel and Littledrop, who studies psychiatric genetics in the University of Queensland, Australia. The P factor doesn't explain everything. In addition, as Caspi is quick to stress, there is more to the storage in genes. The genetic work is exciting, but what's really remarkable about most psychiatric disorders is they share the same environment as psychosocial risk factors as well, he says. Child abuse of any kind, for example, predicts every condition under the sun. The same is true of drug and alcohol abuse and traumatic experience during childhood, such as being displaced by warfare. Polman and his colleagues recently attempted to qualify the genetic component, the P factor. Drawing from information from more than 7,000 pairs of twins, they estimated the heritability around 55%. This means the genetic difference explains just over half the variation between people's general susceptibility to mental health problems, with the rest being driven by non-genetic factors. The studies also show that some of the P factor is stable across the person's lifetime. Despite these complications, there is growing recognition that mental health conditions have a shared genetic basis, and the search is on to find out how this manifests biologically. In 2018, Gandel and his colleagues, Dan Geschwind, led a team to do just that. They analysed gene expressions in the cerebral cortex, the brain's outer layer where higher cognition occurs, from 700 postmortems of people diagnosed with mental health conditions. Quote, we found that the disorders that share the most genetic risk factors, like schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, look very similar in the gene expression pattern as well. Okay, this is epigenetics, says Gandel. Many of the genes involve controlled activities of synapses and junctions between neurons. A recent study led by Hammerschlag backs this up. Her team investigated more than 7,000 sets of genes involved in a wide range of biological pathways, and then looked at which contained the genes with variants linked to five common mental health conditions. Only 14 fit the bill. Almost all the gene sets have functional neurons, and most play a role in synapse, she says. In other words, the P factor seems to have something to do with communication between brain cells. Oh, right. How woolly. The latest research is even more enlightening. Maxine Tuck of the University of Oxford and his colleagues believe that they identified the vulnerability network in the brains of children of high genetic risk of developing mental health conditions. Comparing brain scans with those children with low genetic susceptibility, the team found large differences in the three key areas. A structure called the default network that is active while the brain is at rest. The second structure involved in planning and control, and a part of the brain that processes vision. In a similar study, Casper and Mosfet found that people with a higher P factor have differences in a brain circuit, crucial for monitoring and processing information so it can be used for higher cortical functions such as regulation, emotion and behaviour. It's still something of a mystery of how having a brain with these sorts of features might influence the individual's psychology. Craspi and Moffat think the high P factor probably manifests as a combination of disordered thinking, difficulties regulating emotions, and a tendency towards negative feelings. However, even if these links aren't yet clear, the P factor idea may be useful in diagnosing and treating mental health conditions. Already, many drugs are known to be beneficial in supposedly distinct diagnoses. In practice, we often use the same treatment for different disorders, says psychiatrist Trevor Fuller of the University of California, San Francisco. Quote, antipsychotics, for example, are useful not only for psychosis, but also for mania, delirium, agitation, and other conditions. The P factor makes sense of these trans-diagnostic therapies, yet we weren't developed with it in mind. Quote, if we can figure out our biology of the P factor, then it might be possible to target the mechanisms involved in developing therapies that work for better disorders, says Gandalf. These could be given to a large number of patients rather than treating each person based on a specific pattern of symptoms. Oh, God. Talk-based treatments such as cognitive behavioural therapy, CBT, also have been trained diagnostic value. Quote, there's always been lessons for patients on how to reframe stressful experiences and look on the bright side, how to identify triggers and set off their symptoms and guidance life skills, says Mosfit. Currently, there are separate therapeutic guidelines for specific conditions. However, the P factor ID lends support to clinicians advocating a one-size-fits-all version of CBT called Common Elements Treatments Approach in an attempt to ensure the more people globally get treatment they need. Quote, it's a frontline cognitive therapy that can be offered to everybody who has a mental distress, i.e. his happy pills is more like a drug. Then, after that, people could be referred onwards to a specialist who treats, say, only schizophrenia or panic attacks, depending on the symptoms present. Moffat believes that the existence of the P factor should prompt a shift from treating conditions themselves to treating the often distressing symptoms people experience. Quote, we tend to think this person has depression today, so this is a person with depression, and we really need to focus on depression, she says. We obviously need to treat the depressive symptoms, but knowing that this patient will be present with different symptoms in the future, but we need to provide them with the tools and skills to cope with them when they arise. The problem goes even further. For him, the blurred biological lines between mental health and conditions alongside the genetic continuity of susceptibility across populations demolishes the orthodox view of mental illness. Oh, there you go. Whoa. I think these diagnostic classifications are mostly a myth, he says. That doesn't mean people don't experience mental health problems that require the help a professional, but Pullman, it would be a happy to see the current model of psychiatry go the way of the dodo. This caused a lot of harm because it implies there are mentally ill people versus normal, he says. We're really all somewhere along a continuum. Oh, how, what a feel good thing.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.